Can Jacob transform into a 60-foot-tall flaming creature? Will we see more of Libby? And what is the name of the final episode of Lost? We'll have answers to all those questions and more in today's official Lost audio podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We're here today with executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse to tease our upcoming episode entitled The Package. That airs on Tuesday, March 30th at 9 p.m. on ABC. They'll also rehash Abiterno, our most recent mythological episode, and take a few fan questions. And there's some big ones in there. Don't forget, you can submit your fan questions for our future podcasts at lostfanquestions@abc.com, all one word. Don't forget to check out the mandatory legalese at the end of the podcast. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Good morning, Damon!
Hi, Carlton.
You know, very happy to see how much everybody liked Abiterno last night. And that was sort of the biggest mythological reveal episode that we have done to date on Lost.
Yes. Well, that's not saying much, but it is at least something.
Saying something.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't speak Latin, Abiterno means eternal abs, as demonstrated by Nestor. No? Why are you shaking your head, Carlton?
I know that that's what your infomercial is going to be after Lost.
Exactly.
You're going to be working on your Abiterno machine.
Yeah, Nestor.
Basically, you know.
Nestor has actually signed on to be the spokesperson for Nestor Carbonell Presents.
Abiterno. Get great abs in 6 weeks.
Are you tired of aging?
That's right.
Do you want excellent abs?
Act now and get free eyeliner.
Wow. We are still a little bit punchy, obviously, because we are finished writing the finale.
A draft of the finale, let's
correct,
say.
Yes.
We may end up doing a few little production changes and some notes and things, but we have a draft done. It's
right.
Really, that's an incredible thing.
It is. It is amazing.
And the writer's finished, and the whiteboards in the writer's room were erased. You know, Lost is pretty much written.
It's pretty trippy.
I'm actually feeling very good about it.
Well, that's
I'm actually
good.
Very excited, although we are exhausted. We basically kind of worked without sleep for the last week, and in so doing, we pushed off a bunch of our post-production obligations, so now we've been sort of locked in the editing room since we finished the writing on Monday, and we are kind of just barely coming up for air to do this podcast, and
it still is
very hectic, and we're shooting, you know, two units simultaneously to both. We're shooting the finale already, and it's exciting.
Speaking of exciting, Carlton, we have referred in previous podcasts to this meeting that we were having in your office one night as we were going over the script, and we suddenly realized that we were about to give this mythological dump. And
is that the term you want to use?
Yeah, it is.
Let's say download. Yeah. Let's go for another metaphor.
I didn't say take a mythological dump, which is something that the Hurley Bird does on occasion, but this was a mythological download. It was late at night.
Keep going. I'm rolling with you.
We were working on the scene with Melinda and Greg where Richard is talking to Jacob, and Jacob is basically explaining to him the idea of what is the island. And
the infamous cork scene.
Yeah, and he explains that it's a cork. And what was really cool about that for us is for years and years and years, we've been sort of described, when we talk about what the island is, that's been sort of our metaphor. And that might not be all you get, but it is our first sort of someone who actually knows what he's talking about is saying something cool and potentially revelatory.
And it was actually very profound for us because we were sitting there and we actually had a sort of typical Lost cryptic, that's not important, we'll talk about it later kind of version of the scene. And we were like, no, you know what? This is actually the place where, you know, these characters have to have a substantive discussion about what is going on here. And it was very weird to actually take these ideas, as Damon said, that were sort of closely held secrets and actually put them into the scene, to put them into dialogue and work it out. But it was actually very was very kind of liberating and exciting.
And what's cool about Abaterno, we feel, is that it really plugs into all these other myths that we really love. The scene where the Man in Black comes on and he unlocks Richard is sort of straight out of The Stand, one of our favorite contemporary myths. But then there's these very biblical ideas where Jacob could be seen as baptizing Richard. But the whole idea that Richard believes that he is in hell and that he is basically echoing this idea that was first advanced by Anthony Cooper, where on the Black Rock, back in the brig, that he believes that he's in hell. That this idea that if you actually don't think that the island is a real place, that can be used against you to manipulate you into doing bad things is something that Jacob counteracts. And one of the things that I love most about that scene is that Jacob says, all of this is really happening. You know, you're here on the island right now. This is not some heaven or hell. This is what the island is. This is what its function is. It keeps the world a good place. But this is fundamentally what the stakes are in the show. That was pretty cool.
I think Nestor did an unbelievable job in the episode. He has been sort of...
And he doesn't even speak Spanish.
No, he does speak Spanish. Wait, he's actually Cuban. And there was actually a point of clarification, which was people were sort of concerned about where did Richard sail from. And he was from the Canary Islands. And in fact, Nestor did some research and discovered that the accent of Canary Island Spanish speakers, which is a Spanish-speaking place, was similar to Cuban. So he was able to use his natural Cuban accent. That was good to find out what happened to Tarad, too, how it got busted into pieces.
Indeed. Indeed it was. There, one other clarification, which is people are trying to connect last year's finale when Jacob and the Man in Black are sitting at the base of Tarad and seemingly sort of these very sunny skies, and then what Jacob says that he's brought them to the island. I think that the thinking there is following that conversation, this great storm sort of whipped itself up. And is it possible that we might be seeing some more storms on the island before the show is over, Carlton?
I would hope so, as a meteorological fan.
Because they can happen fast.
They can happen really fast, yes. Right. Storm is a good metaphor, isn't it, really?
It is good.
It's a kind of an obvious metaphor, but no less good for being obvious.
Totally.
All right, let's talk about the package very briefly. And Damon, what do you think the package is? Is it referring to the object Jin has, or could it be something Widmore has?
That's interesting. I think that we can intimate that next week we are back into the modality that the season has followed, and we're going to be in a character-centric episode, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Sun and Jin. So I would think that the package in some way is going to have to relate to these guys. I know that Jin got something taken away from him at customs, and then somehow he's going to end up in a freezer in some sort of seedy restaurant. Yeah, so I'm curious as to how that goes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were like, how did Jin end up in the freezer? And they will actually be happy to find out how Jin ended up in the freezer in this episode.
I've got some gin in my freezer right now. I could really use some.
That was good. That was good. Let's get to questions.
By the way, before we get to questions, guys.
We have
to say, if you stay tuned to the end of this podcast,
we're going to tell you the title of the finale.
We will tell you the title of the finale here on the
breaking
podcast
news
before it breaks.
But you have to endure the entirety of this podcast.
All of the questions.
In the same way that the smoke monster can turn into a human being or a pillar of black smoke, can Jacob alternate between being a human being and being something else, potentially a 60-foot being made of flames?
Wow. Potentially. We have not seen Jacob demonstrate any shape-shifting behavior, nor have we seen a 60-foot being of flames. But I like the cut of your jib.
Doug, I want to be in your mind for like maybe 5 minutes, not longer than that. But that would be a very interesting sort of like a Disney ride.
What's
like
interesting?
A Disney park ride.
What's interesting about his question is that it shows you how limited, you know, the Man in Black's imagination is. He's like, let's see. I can be anything I want to. I could be a 60-foot being constructed of flames or Yemi.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Yemi.
Or Kate's horse?
Or Kate's horse. Well, I'm not sure Kate's horse was the Man in Black unless he just wanted Kate to ride him. But anything's possible. Can I say that?
Yes,
I could say
can.
That. Yeah.
I think it's worth speculating about. I'm not convinced that the Kate's horse was not the Man in Black.
Carlton, my question comes from John Feist in Lawrence, Kansas. Sorry, Kansas, for those of you who are basketball fans. Greetings and good job making such a cool show. Let me preface by saying I know this is stupid, but are we ever going to find out what the others are really called? I find it a little too convenient that even they refer to themselves as the others. If nothing else, I think it would be funny to see a flashback of Ben sitting at a desk looking over papers, and Ethan rushes in with a smile on his face saying, "They're calling us others. Ooh." Anyway, can't wait to see how it ends. So,
wow.
What do the others call themselves?
That's an incredibly good question.
Well, what do the Losties call themselves? Nobody's just really, us versus them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things that we actually, even though it was actually an impulse of a lot of people, you know, around the show, was like, aren't you going to do the sort of civilization building things where people like have, you know, established laws and tribunals and elect leaders? And it was like, none of that stuff seemed very interesting. So
I fell asleep as you were talking about tribunals.
Exactly.
Is that an instrument of some kind?
So naming themselves, it just feels like, you know, it was never really a high priority. So
one of the things that we thought was cool is that our group called them the others because that's the word that they learned from Rousseau. She calls them others, and therefore that's how they start referring to them. But the Dharma Initiative didn't call them the others, did they?
They called them the hostiles.
That's right.
That's
because
right.
They were hostile.
And, you know, there was this also this other idea that the others were sort of an amalgam of various civilizations that had visited the island over time. And so they really weren't one group of people. And there are different cultural influences that you can see when you look around at the archaeological artifacts on the island. So they were defined more by their geography, sort of like we are, you know, the United States, as opposed to one particular, you know, ethnic or societal group.
May I ask you a follow-up question, Carlton?
Sure.
Can it be deduced based on Abiturno last night that there actually were no others prior to this conversation with Richard Alpert? Because when Richard says, "What happened to all the other people you brought here?" Jacob says, "Well, they're dead, but maybe they wouldn't have to get killed if I had a go-between." So is it possible that this conversation with Richard is in fact the origin of the others that you are now describing?
I'm not so sure it is.
Okay.
I mean, we have that big Tar Rat statue. There clearly was a lot of other
people
on this
coming,
island.
Right, but they're all dead. I mean,
well, if he's telling the truth.
Well, that's a very good point.
That is true. All right, this is from Rogerio Dumki, and he writes, "My name is Rogerio Dumki. My question: Libby with like 90 Ys and 7 exclamation points."
Okay.
I think that's a question.
Yeah. Well, Rogerio, I think that what I'm calling from your question is, will Libby appear again on the show? Will we get any more information about Libby? To which we respond,
yes. You are. You will be seeing more things about Libby.
Should I scream yes with many?
Yes, you should.
Yes, Rogerio.
That was a good answer.
By the way, for the remainder of the questions that I'm going to ask you, Carlton, I'm going to actually put that at the beginning of the question. For example, my name is Mike Pinter Sr. from Burlington, Wisconsin.
It doesn't really play the same.
I've diligently watched Lost since the first episode, and one thing has seemed out of place to me. You're going to see a recurring theme here in my questions, Carlton. In the first 3 seasons, the others were always shown to be freakishly strong when confronting the Losties. Ethan subduing Charlie and Jack, and all the best cowboys have daddy issues. Goodwin attacking Anna Lucia in the other 48 days. And Juliet flipping Kate when Kate tried to overpower her and left behind. But in the latter seasons, the others could barely seem to hold their own. Did the island have an effect on the strength of the occupants? And now that the Losties have spent years on the island, they have leveled the playing field? Or is there some other explanation for the others' super strength that has changed?
Well, thank you. That is an incredibly good question.
By the way, my name is Mike Pinter Sr. Damn it.
Yes. That's good. You know what? I love the fact that he's owning his senior status. He's not just basically making Mike Pinter Jr. be junior.
That's
he's
right.
He's doing senior.
He's so letting us know.
That's totally awesome. You know, this is one of those stories that we just never got to on the show, but there was a dojo in New Otherton, and there were some instructors, and they had a fatal boating accident while fishing, and because they died, there was no more martial arts instruction, and the lack of martial arts instruction actually caused most of the others to become weak and flounder.
Wow. There's nothing I like more than a definitive question answered.
Damon and Carlton, where the frack is Desmond?
Oh,
all caps.
Man.
Sincerely, an increasingly pissed off Lost fan.
We don't blame you. for those of you who watch the show religiously, you may have noticed that Ian Cusick's name is sort of in the opening titles every week. So
that's a hopeful sign.
You know, is it possible that Desmond has been hiding Carlton?
Or did we just make a deal to just use his name in the opening titles?
That's right. All we can say is that it is highly likely that Desmond will be popping up in either the Sideways or the island itself at some point in the relatively near future.
That's true.
Your patience will be rewarded.
That is good.
Carlton?
Yes.
My name is Eric Schulmiller. This fall on ABC, a detective show unlike any you have seen before. One is a sarcastic detective who can hear the dead's last memories. The other is a stormy cowboy with a dark secret and the heart of a con man. From the acclaimed team that brought you Nash Bridges comes Spirit of the Law. What do you think? Much better than Zombies.
Oh my God. Seriously.
I really did think during the opening scene, I totally watched that show. And here's some other titles I considered. Homo Sideways. Flash Bridges. Anyway, thanks for one of the best episodes of the season / series. Eric Schulmiller.
Eric, that is awesome. We had so much fun doing that and getting a chance to sort of exercise our cop show muscles in Sideways was really fun. Might we be seeing a little bit more of Cop Sawyer and his sidekick partner Miles this season, Damon?
Well, unless the Sideways abruptly come to an end, and unfortunately for those of you who hate them, there might be a couple more, yes. We will be seeing some more James Ford and Miles Strom misadventures,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I love that. The Spirit of the Law. That is really
good. It's
fairly
inspired.
That's really good. Is it safe to assume that the smoke monster can only take on the persona of dead people? Is it also safe to assume that when Hurley was in the mental hospital, that Dave was real and was one of the dead people he could talk to? If both of these things are correct, was Dave on the island the smoke monster or just regular Dave? Thanks. I love Lost! From Camille in San Antonio, Texas. And she wants to be safe. Make these assumptions.
These are excellent, excellent questions, Camille, and not ones that we're going to answer here in the podcast. But we will say this. In the near future, relatively near future, one of the characters on the show will be asking some of these very questions. And they will be asking someone who knows the answers. And that someone will provide the answers in a way that we are not providing them right now.
Wow. So excellent. That's
something.
That's good. That
right?
is good. It's hope. It's hope.
My name is Pauline Tay. If you were invited to a Lost-themed costume party for the season finale, who would you dress up as? I have been invited to one, and I plan to dress up as Kate. My boyfriend, however, is going the full Smokey with Ash and everything.
Wow.
He also thinks he should bring two other costumes, Locke and the Man in Black from season 5 finale. I also brought to his attention that he should bring Yemi's costume to add authenticity. And then we also thought of Alex. This seems like so much effort. What would happen if Smokey were to take other forms to the remainder of the season? Oh, dear. Kind regards. Love you forever. Best show, Pauline. Hey, Carlton,
what?
Who would you go as?
Well, wait. I just have a couple of things that I want to say about that question. One is, I love the expression, the sort of the, you know, full Smokey. And I'd love to get that into the popular vernacular. You know, just things that are really... things that where you kind of make an all-out effort, that sort of is a full Smokey.
Right.
And talking about all-out effort, I mean, how is Pauline's boyfriend going to make these three costume changes during the party? I mean, like, you just say, at a certain point, you have a cocktail, and you go, you know what, I'm now kind of ready to go from Smokey to Locke. And then you go in the bathroom, and then you shave your head. There's some unanswered questions.
Yeah, for me,
the
Smokey to Locke shift doesn't seem as radical as the Locke to Yemi shift for several obvious reasons. That's the one.
That's a tough costume to really pull off,
I think. But you're dodging the question, Carlton. You have to go as a Lost character.
I think I'm going to go Kimi Badass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm going to get that thing. I'm going to get that bomb, that little bomb detonating device, like, strapped to my arm.
Right.
And when somebody doesn't want to have, like, a conversation with me or something, I'm going to just say, I'm going to detonate this thing, and I'm going to blow this entire party up.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an awesome
and you?
Costume. I think I'd go as Frogert with an arrow sticking out of my chest. There's nothing like...
It would really be awesome if you actually kept the arrow flaming during... It'd be a great conversation starter, wouldn't it?
You say awesome, I say...
Dangerous?
Painful.
Painful.
Right. But
okay, I have one more question for you.
Lay it on me. Please.
I wish I could do the, you know, my name is, you know, but this person did not provide their last names. So it is, my name is Sean from Leeds in the United Kingdom. I love the show. You've done an awesome job. So after watching the first 8 episodes of season 6, it struck me how many rivalries they are. But we don't know who is good or bad, but these rivalries definitely do exist. Do you both have a rivalry between each other? And if so, which side would you be on, Jacob or Flock? And who is the most evil of you guys? I'm guessing it has to be Carlton.
Whoa.
Thanks for the great show. Well, I need to clear that up right off the bat. And I'm not the most evil. I think Chris White is the most evil among...
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say that you are more evil than Chris because that would incur your wrath. So I'll go ahead and agree with you because we all know what would happen if I said you were the more evil. But it's very clear that I am the most good. And I think we'll just leave it at that.
And by good in the lost sense that you're really actually bad.
That's right.
Pretending to be good. Right.
Well, it's interesting what you said earlier in the podcast about Jacob and whether or not he was telling the truth. Because, again, the show is – even Charles Widmore now is coming back doing a song and dance about how he's a good guy.
Is he good or bad? I'm very confused.
Right. Is it – let me just ask you this one question, yes. Carlton. Let's just get it out on the table. Is it possible – you know, we're on a David Kelly show and I'm giving my closing argument. Is it possible – could you consider beyond a reasonable doubt – is it possible that this thing that is pretending to be Locke, this smoke monster, this man in black, is not evil? Is it possible that he's telling the truth, that he is imprisoned, and that this whole Jacob thing is some sort of manipulation?
It's possible.
All right.
There you have it.
There you go.
Do you have a final question?
My final question is, what is the title for the final episode of the series Lost?
It very fittingly is The...
The end.
And I think we couldn't probably make a more clear statement as to the fact that we are bringing our story to a close.
That's right.
And anyway, we're...
Some people might pronounce it the end. We choose to pronounce it the end.
And all of the... There are no extra spaces, okay?
Yeah. Nope.
It's not like the end.
It's T-H-E space... E-N-D.
And I suppose on that note, we should bring our podcast to the end.
Nice segue. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
One other thing.
Okay.
Abiturno shout-outs, which we forgot to give.
Tucker Gates.
Beautifully directed by Tucker Gates, who's got another episode coming up before the series is over. Awesome, incredible filmic job. Obviously, right. Nestor, incredible. And Greg Nations, our own Greg Nations, and Melinda Sue Taylor were the writers of that episode. So massive kudos to them. An episode that many of you have lauded as one of the best of the season, if not the series. We couldn't agree more. So, again, big shout-outs to all those guys.
Excellent. All right. Well, Damon, I'll see you next time.
I hope so, Carlton.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for joining us. The Package airs Tuesday, March 30th at 9 p.m. on ABC. And don't forget, by submitting your questions, you agree to ABC's terms of use, and you agree to have your name, city, state, and question included in this podcast. All submissions become the property of American Broadcasting Companies, Incorporated, and may be used, edited, republished, or published in any manner and in any media throughout the world in perpetuity without compensation. You must be 18 years or older to send email to abc.com.